This is the K-State Radio Network and Agriculture Today. Glad to have you aboard once again. The latest from the grain market scene, our first order of business right here, as we talk market trends with K-State Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien. Dan, let's take up, first of all, row crop planting progress around the country. It would appear the markets are paying precious little attention to that as far as a price mover goes. It seems to be a non-issue at the moment.
When you look at the numbers from the USDA's crop progress report put out on May the 15th, for the three I states, again, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, it looks like, in terms of planting progress, that, gosh, we're at 75% planted in Illinois, 77% five-year average, 56% in Indiana, 62% the five-year average, 85% planted in Iowa, 75% average. So according to that, we're in decent shape. But in Kansas, our number is 60% planted as of May the 14th with the average of 72%. When you look at the amount of crop emerged, you get a little bit more of a picture that would indicate that there may be some problems in terms of the crop coming up, the crop of not having to be replanted, et cetera. In Illinois, they're at about 47% emerged on the 14th, 50% is the five-year average. Have seen market reports from Illinois, particularly the southern part of Illinois, talking about how, yes, that crop's emerged, but they have some concerns about needing to replant into wet soils and crops that haven't come up, shown a lot of vigor. So that'd be one area that you'd identify as a possible issue. Indiana, southern part of Indiana, really somewhat the same story. By the numbers, 29% emerged versus 33%. But again, some concerns about the crop vigor as it's and survivability as it's come up. Iowa, 28% emerged as opposed to 35%. Some parts of that state, too, at some risk, perhaps. So it's difficult, Eric, to judge grain markets and objectively when there are areas without problems elsewhere from where you're sitting. And right now where we're sitting, we've got some issues. Yeah. So maybe the challenge is to figure out, well, how many acres and how many potential bushels are impacted by some of these more regionalized issues that we've got. To the degree you're talking about planting delays, acreage shifts from corn to whatever secondary crop would come. In the Corn Belt, they're probably looking towards soybeans first. Here in Kansas, that and parts of the state, you're looking at soybeans. Other parts, probably maybe some later planted crops like grain sorghum or sunflowers if we have problems getting corn crop in. So what's the market impact of all that here? For localized supplies, again, I think we could be looking at, if we have some production shortfalls here in different parts of the state, some switching around in the grain stocks and carryover situation we've got in different parts of the state like Kansas or Nebraska or Oklahoma. And you'd see some basis differentials in play, et cetera. But again, it's probably premature to talk largely about that type of a market impact for fall 2017 and on. But again, we're sitting on the 18th, 19th of May, and if these problems persist, we're not able to get a significant amount of intended crops into the ground in the next 1 or 2 weeks, then we have an increasingly serious situation to consider in regards to what our feed grain supplies will be heading off in the fall of next year. And if that be the case, then, you know, some of the piles of grain we have sitting around from a previous harvest might come in pretty handy. Again, I don't want to talk foolishly about that, but again, we're over halfway through May, and there are significant parts of the state where probably that last 5, 10, 15% of corn acres to be planted may have a real challenge getting in.
Well, narrowly, as you're talking supply and demand of feed grains, there are new numbers available on the grain sorghum side of it, supply and demand. And what do those depict to us, Dan?
Well, Eric, they depict a confusing picture when you look at the USDA numbers. So here, the USDA has projected for this current marketing year we're in that the U.S. average price for grain sorghum is $2.70 per bushel and that the corn price is $3.40. They're projected for next year that the U.S. average corn price is $3.40, but the grain sorghum price is $3. So somewhere in there, if those numbers were to hold true, we'd see a narrowing up of basis for grain sorghum by, I think, if my math's right, by about 30 cents. So that would be a positive for grain sorghum. It wouldn't necessarily hurt corn at all, but in regions where grain sorghum is used in either livestock feed or exports or for ethanol processing, if those numbers held up, you'd see a stronger basis for grain sorghum than we have been seeing. So we'll see how all that goes. I think that what really stands out on the grain sorghum supply-demand picture or in that picture is, again, if you look at where exports were in our best years, basically in the 2014-15 and 15-16 marketing year when we got into this 37th week of those export years, we were running at about 250 million bushels of exports that we'd actually shipped. And as we sit right now, we're at about 145, almost at 150 million bushels. So the impact of some of these international policy changes, particularly in China with how they're handling their stocks and the open door that grain sorghum had in those earlier two marketing years, and that being closed somewhat, although we're still shipping quite a bit of grain sorghum, historically just not as much as those hottest 2 years. Again, we're basically 100 million bushels down from where we were. So that, no doubt, has an impact on the demand pull that we're seeing out in the country to pull grain sorghum onto trains and to put that in the export channels, and just it has an impact on our cash markets without question.
Also, similarly, in the geopolitical realm, we hear rumblings out of Brazil about political unrest there, which could transform, if you will, the normal flow of soybeans out of that country as producers make out-of-the-box decisions here.
Yeah, the news that hit the market yesterday on Thursday the 18th was that because of political scandals and probably just uncertainty, questions about their currency, their financial system, etc., again, due to rumors of scandals having to do with the governmental leadership of that country, thought that Brazilian farmers would be less likely to hold on to soybeans that they've grown and push them all that much more quickly to the market, basically to get cash in hand, I would guess. So anyway, with that, we saw the soybean futures market yesterday respond negatively. July down 31 cents, August down 28 and a quarter, September down 25 and a half, and all the rest of the contracts down from, looks like, about 21 three quarters to 23 cents as you head out all the way to July of 2018. Now, it was also a down day yesterday for corn futures, about 4.5 to 5.5 cents. Wheat was so-so in terms of not a lot of changes. So in terms of cold, hard, objective analysis, these financial, currency, and energy market sources of uncertainty, if nothing else, grabs the attention of investors towards those other macro geopolitical factors and takes the tension away from news that, gosh, in more of a level, stable environment would have markets hopping around pretty positively. Again, we had 60 million bushels of exports of corn moving off our shores in the week ending May the 11th, and the corn market goes down 5 cents. So I think attention's being distracted, pulled away from some of these other challenges that we're seeing on the production side in the U.S. and some of the other good news that we're seeing on the usage side.
And briefly here, noting last week that we covered your latest price probability projections for wheat and for corn, you've run a similar exercise for soybeans and plugged in a few scenarios for this marketing year. What do you come up with vis-a-vis the USDA's price projection?
My thought would be that the USDA's projection of yields per harvest acre, 48 bushels per acre, is 1 or 2 bushels per acre higher than actual trend line yields. So instead of 48, if you plug in something like 46 to 47 bushels per acre in a non-short crop year scenario, just that would be one factor to consider. Another would be that some of these planting challenges that we talked about earlier, Eric, in the eastern Corn Belt or even here in Kansas, may end up and push acres towards soybeans. There are some that are talking about how in some of the more extreme flooded areas, Arkansas, et cetera, that some of those acres will be so saturated that they'll be difficult to get anything into them this year. So if we think that corn acres may be down a million to a million and a half acres, probably the first place you'd look for them to go would be to soybeans. Also, as a factor in, with the excessive moisture we've got right now and uncertain forecast, there's still a 1 in 10, 1 in 20 chance of a major drought. So you at least want to consider what that could do. Overall, though, Here the USDA is projected about 11.3% stocks to use and $9.30 prices. And really, with higher acreage, you're probably looking at something more between 9 to 9.25 if we get higher acreage and decent yields. If we get a short crop situation, again, too wet or whatever, well, yeah, then there's the possibility of getting back below 10% stocks to use, prices closer to $11 to $12, et cetera. But you know, that type of issue is one that if it occurred, we'd be staring right at it in August and September. But right now we talk about the possibility of it, but the reality of it would have to come then.
Yeah, that's why these are probability projections.
Right.
Dan, we appreciate the input as always. Thanks, and enjoy your weekend upcoming.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
He's along with us every Friday to share his latest thoughts and analysis on the grain markets. That's Dan O'Brien, a grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. You're listening to Agriculture Today.